continue to step over the feet of our distinguished guest, but I think this is the only opportunity I'll have to talk. Tomorrow will be very busy. És akkor ott is lehetne a székeket majd a falon. Some of the devotees are still absent at the hotel, but so many of you have come from afar to celebrate Radhisham's moving to the new location. And I want to talk a little about just Radhisham, my experience with him, and some certain amount of the history of their actually coming here. Én be lehet hozni még egy pár széket oda a falhoz rakni, hogy ide is. De csak a falnál legyenek a széken. Anyway, let's chant. Van egy harmonium a közelben? Nincs. Nem van. Ott van. Okay, de nincs. Nem kell. Nem látom neki. Köszönöm, hogy kiment. Székeket csak rakjátok, csak a falhoz, kettő-kettő, jó? Gajra, mahaja, javiha.
Yeah.
Prasthut Parishuddha, Shishi Madhavi Chiranarvindvat. Holy Gyan Tingrandasya Vihanam Jana Sattaram, Chakshurudulitam Vena Prasmaha Shri Vrivena, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitranam Shri Vigrara Shri Vasari Yoga Vakta Vena, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Just I'll review a little what our plan is. I wanted to invite all of our non-Hungarian devotees who had come from, or devotees who were outside of Hungary, which really meant the devotees coming from Dubai, America, and Govinda Maharaj comes from all over the place, and of course the UK, some devotees who were going to come from South America, and then even as far afield as Australia. This is really representative or a sampling of devotees who contributed towards the renovation of Radhasham's deity room. What you see a bit here right now is the handrail, railing. You get to see some of the new floor. We'll sort of go over the detail what actually took place or was done. And then the whole pujari area upstairs, which extends as far as upstairs. And then there's other things that actually have not been done as yet. For instance, underneath Tulsi Devi's house, then we actually have the boiler or the heating system for this place. So because we put in additional underfloor heating in the daily room in the pujari area, in order to do that, now in the spring we'll have to install larger boilers, and that we didn't have to do in the winter. We couldn't have done it in the winter anyway. So that's still upcoming, and we didn't really want to leave out Gopeshwar Mahadev and Yogamaya, whose temples you see out there. They've been sort of rebuilt already once, and now we're going to do them a third time. This time we'll do them in stone so that they last through the weather. Weather is a real, especially water, although water is such an indispensable thing, but from mountains to buildings to universes, destroys, inundates everything. It's very powerful in that way of things. So those have yet to be sort of working on getting quotes on how to do those, and those will be done in the spring. And the one thing which is really sort of left out of the mix was Srila Prabhupada's altar. The top is meant to be done in the same way as Radhasham Sundar's altar top, which was replaced, and the upper portion. We wanted to actually carve and do a whole new sort of singasan, if you can call that, for Srila Prabhupada, that also blends in with the two arches and pillars that are right beside it. So those things are still yet to come. And although all of this has sort of cost us many times more than what it cost to originally build this building 20 years ago, but anyway, it'll do for the time being, until sometime in the future we can actually build a proper temple that can really accommodate the needs of actually just here in Hungary. We have, 20 20 to 30,000 guests a year who come here between, well, they've already started to come between the months of April to October. And both the guests know, as well as the tourist companies know, how many people we can accommodate. Basically, we've got a little reception, we've got this hallway, and then we've got the temple room. And so if we had a bigger facility, then we'd have many more people coming, especially even in the wintertime. For schools, this is sort of quite limited as to how much we can accommodate school groups, if we would have lots of school groups coming here. So Krishna Valley is, I mean, it's on the map. It was on the map 20 years ago when we first opened it. If you look at it on the Hungarian map, it's there. And there's probably very few people in the country who don't know the place. Everyone's heard about the place. Many people have visited the place. I go meet Osar from Prime Minister, who I haven't really met, but I meet cabinet ministers, members of parliament, and so on. Everyone's been here. And they come. May not even know that they're here, but they come and they visit. And for them, it's sort of an example of Hungarian life as it used to be maybe 100, 200 years ago. Minus Radisha. They didn't have Radisha. They had churches, and they were all sort of self-sufficient. And of course, our focus now is on Radisha and Sundar, but they're only one part of New Rajadham. So Gurukul, and this year we're expanding our Gurukul for secondary education. So this year we're building one additional building that has 6 classrooms, and next year we'll have to build a big gymnasium building. And if you see, the population is increasing. It's increasing from the children, many children just this spring in February, March, I took a group of the older Gurukul children to India, or at least I was already there, they came. It's quite an experience for them. 1 week in Mayapur, 1 week in Jagannath Puri, 1 week in Vrindavan. And then, of course, we also have our Goshala, and we have the land, which Srila Prabhupada wanted us to live off of and be self-sufficient from, so that we could really solve the real basic problems of life. Well, the most basic problem is eating, because if you can't eat, then and you can't study Srimad Bhagavatam, you can't chant Hare Krishna, you can't worship deities, you can't do anything. Eating is the basic necessity, and really eating food, because generally what you eat in London or Budapest or New York or anything else, it isn't really food. It's just painted up to look like food, but it's actually different types of carcinogenic materials that help increase the wages and the income of the doctors who are going to operate on you later. And of course, it's what to speak of milk and milk products, which you get inconceivable karmas for consuming. So Prabhupada didn't want us to be dependent on this type of world if we're really going to be pure, both in our in just what we eat, because ultimately we are what we eat. So what we eat is very much going to influence how we think, and of course to be karma free, so that our the things that we consume are also karma free. So that's the greater picture. One setback of these sort of festivals is that no one really gets to experience what Yubhadradam is all about. They just participate in festivals, and we don't have festivals here all year round. Mostly, devotees are working hard. Festivals is also a very engaging thing for devotees at Yubhadradam. But when we don't have festivals, then we have orchards and gardens and taking care of the cows and taking care of the children, taking care of the guests who come. And Radhisham's worship is going on. But like I said, they're only part of the only part of the equation, the focus of everything. But there are so many other very important things that are going on. Ultimately, actually, this whole facility is really made it's made for the devotees, but it's made for next generation, for children, so that devotees, children, they can have, an alternative. Let's see whether they choose the alternative, but that they can have a lifestyle where they're coming with minimum karmic baggage from the past, so they don't have to accumulate any in this life. Their neighbors, teachers, parents are all devotees, pure devotees living a pure lifestyle. And hopefully that experience will be such that they decide to continue on this lifestyle, to perpetuate this. Because obviously if we don't have devotees who are going to actually dedicate themselves to, well, in English we call it full-time, in Hungarian we call it missionary lifestyle, this movement is going to die. It's not going to continue on by, no matter how many supporters and donors we have, unless we have actually people to support and donate to, then there's no mission. And without the mission, then the real heart of Krishna consciousness movement is going to die. I was just actually listening to a very interesting Prabhupada discussing at Kumbh Mela 1977. And it's a quiet conversation with disciples. And the first leading question is, Prabhupada, does any of your godbrothers have a preaching spirit? And Prabhupada says, no, for the most part, they're spiritually dead. And then the conversation goes on from there. And because Prabhupada explains that they're good sadhakas, but when it comes to preaching, they have no idea what to do. And what was I? Oh, yeah. The Sri Prabhupada was making this point. He said, yeah, this is when I was a grihastha. He said, even from my grihastha days, I always had this vision of preaching. He said, but I got it wrong. I thought that I would become wealthy, and then if I got money, then I would be able to support the preaching. So, but that wasn't Krishna's plan. He says, neither did I get wealthy, and neither did I end up supporting the preaching. He says, Prabhupada was talking about it when I was in, and I'll come back now. But ultimately, this is when I was poverty stricken, that's when I was able to spread Krishna consciousness. So it didn't take money. The money came. It required that I just concentrate full time, and then everything happened. So this Sanam Anugrahami, Krishna didn't allow me to become a wealthy person to sponsor somebody else, which would have been his godbrothers, but rather Krishna wanted me to do it. And the point I wanted to make was then Prabhupada. So he said, but Guru Maharaj, somehow he saw this. He said, I was living in Allahabad, and I would go to Mumbai and he managed the temple for him, and he was doing Prabhupada, was doing fundraising. And so when they installed the deities, and Prabhupada said it was 1935, and then we installed the deities in Mumbai, Then the devotee said, why doesn't Abhay Babu come to be the Prabhupada's temple commander? He's such a good organizer and manager. Prabhupada said, no, Guru Maharaj said, it's better that he keeps a distance from you all for now. He said, then later on, he'll do everything that's required. So Prabhupada said, somehow or another, Guru Maharaj had this idea that many of the kathra which are supposed to be so very difficult to be good. So it was, yes. So that's, and of course, Adhikar Prabhu this afternoon will talk about, learn more about Srila Prabhupada's, vision for self-sufficient communities and how actually that relates to New Vrindavan. Okay, but this particular festival is dedicated to Radha Shamsundar. And I just wanted to read a verse and purport from the Bhagavatam, from the sixth canto, which I came upon the other day, or at least reminded when I was actually in Vrindavan. I was studying this verse of Vedanta Sutra, which put my mind into all kinds of knots, trying to understand how the different verses of Vedanta Sutra are explained. And Baladeva Vibhushan is quoting this particular verse.
Demigods, so she wanted to kill Indra.
Women tend to be a little vengeful sometimes, being exalted personalities. But here's this wonderful purport. In this verse, the word Tatosi Bhagavan Prabhu means, therefore, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of everyone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is endowed with all six opulences in full, and moreover, he is extremely kind to his devotees. Although he is full of himself, he nonetheless wants all the living entities to surrender unto him so that they may engage in his service. Thus he becomes satisfied. Although he is full of himself, he nonetheless becomes pleased when his devotee offers him patram, pushpam, palam, toyam, a leaf, flower, fruit, or water in devotion. Sometimes the Lord, as the child of Mother Yashoda, requests his devotee for some food, as if he were very hungry. Sometimes he tells his devotee in a dream that his temple and his garden are now very old and he cannot enjoy them very nicely. Thus he requests the devotee to repair them. Sometimes he is buried in the earth and, as if unable to come out himself, he requests his devotee to rescue him. Sometimes he requests his devotee to preach his glories all over the world, although he alone is quite competent to perform this task. Even though the Supreme Personality of Godhead is endowed with all possessions and is self-sufficient, he depends on his devotees. Therefore, the relationship of the Lord with his devotees is extremely confidential. Only the devotee can perceive how the Lord, although full in himself, depends on his devotee for some particular work. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord tells Arjuna, Nimittam Atram Bhagasabhya Sarcha. O Arjuna, merely be an instrument in the fight. Lord Krishna has the competence to win the battle of Kurukshetra, but nonetheless he induced his devotee Arjuna to fight and become the cause of victory. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was quite competent enough to spread his name and mission all over the world, but still he depended upon his devotee to do this work. Considering all these points, the most important aspect of the Supreme Lord's self-sufficiency is that it depends on his devotees. This is called his causeless mercy. The devotee who has perceived this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by realization can understand the master and the servant. Let's read that last line. The devotee who has perceived this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by realization can understand the master and the servant. Krishna conscious culture, and especially devotees who are coming from Indian background have a lot of experience with deities. India, there are so many deities. Deity worship has been there since ever. Srila Prabhupada talks about deities that have been worshipped, for instance, that Kanyakumari deity in the south of India has been worshipped for millions of years. So like this goes back to another age. Lord Ramachandra, which is two ages before, he carved the deity of Shakshi Gopal, that deity of Shakshi Gopal that is in Ramuna. Then he carved that deity. If you go to Barshana, there's a Radha Krishna deities by Dhangar, which are 6,000 years old. In other words, they predated Krishna's appearance by 1,000 years. So deity worship has always been there. Sometimes it was the Yuga Dharma. Now, although Harinam is the Yuga Dharma, but it's still really an indispensable part of our spiritual life, at least until one is able to chant Hare Krishna offenselessly, daily worship is, it's really compulsory. Prabhupada writes in the Shravanam Kirtanam Smarnam purport unless grihastas especially worship deities. But obviously, see, it doesn't just restrict the grihastas. He says they will fall down. So deity worship is still very, very important. And it's, although this chanting Hare Krishna, associating with Vaishnavas here in Srimad Bhagavatam is called Bhagavad Vidhi. But the Prabhupada points out it's like two tracks of a train, even though you could say that this is the most important one, but still, you can't run a train on one track, you need two tracks. So this Pancha Triki Vidhi, worship of the deities. And but still, deity worship is a... it's very mysterious. It's very difficult to understand. Because, and then there's this verse Prabhupada quotes in Padma Purana that, which I forget. No, another one about the different materials that the deities can be made of. So wood, stone, jewels conceived within the mind. These are the different acceptable forms in which deities are carved. So this idea that, and you go to Jaipur, which is really where deities are carved. So this idea that the deity is Krishna is an extremely difficult concept to understand, to realize that although he's made of stone, although he's made of marble, for instance, in the case of Radha Shyam, but actually at the same time he's Chintamani. He's not Chintamani, he's Satchitananda. He's Param Brahman. He's not only just Brahman, but he's Param Brahman. And so this idea that, and although he seems to be sort of limited in size, but at the same time he's unlimited. Although he seems to be standing on an altar, but at the same time he's moving. So he looks like in a pose, but he's actually dancing. So it doesn't seem like he's talking, but at the same time he talks. And one philosophical perspective to understand is, for instance, stated in the beginning of Ishopanishad, Om Purnam Ada Purnamidam, is that Krishna is complete. So complete means that he also has to be made of stone. If he's not of stone, he's not complete. Whereas he's both limited, at the same time, he's unlimited, he also has to be limited. Otherwise, he's not complete. Can't say God can't be limited. The Prabhupada gives the same example. And for instance, some religious people say, well, God can't come to earth in a form that appears to be the form of a man. And as soon as you say, God can't do something, you're limiting him. So then he's not complete. And but one example, which here Srila Prabhupada is also talking about Mother Yashoda, that he requests his devotee for food. One example is, for instance, that I'm tuned into that because I'm just writing this book on Damodara Leela, that you know, Mother Yashoda tried to tie Krishna. So she's got Krishna sitting in her lap and she's got her arm around him trying to tie him. So she's got her arm around him, but she can't get the rope around him. So he's limited within her arm, but he's not, at the same time, although her arm is around him, she can't get the rope around him. So he's simultaneously limited and unlimited. And of course that's our philosophy. Achinta Veda, Veda Tattva. So here the oneness and difference are emphasized, but this achinta concept is there. Simultaneously he's limited and he's unlimited. of Nejavita. He moves, he walks, and he doesn't walk. So he's not walking. But at the same time, Radhishyam are also walking somewhere else. And there's, in terms of logic, there's a philosophical concept that things that are true need to be universally true, which means that if I can't be walking and not walking at the same time. So either I walk or I sit still. So similarly, Krishna can't be walking and not walking at the same time. But of course, the problem is that Krishna's not like us. These type of mundane arguments of logic, they don't work for God. So he can both walk and not walk. He can both eat and not eat. So when here he says, is Krishna, are the deities actually hungry? If you don't feed them, are they hungry? So the answer is yes, then they're hungry. But at the same time, he's never hungry. He's self-sufficient. So he's both hungry and not hungry. You don't have that experience. You have the experience that sometimes I'm hungry, and then when I eat prasadam, then I'm full. But he's hungry and not hungry at the same time. He moves and he doesn't move at the same time. And, for instance, although fear personified, tadbe sabbibeti swayam vayam, fear personified is afraid of Krishna. But although fear personified praise Krishna, he's running away from Mother Yashoda, he's not putting on a show. He's scared. She's got a stick in her hand, and she's going to hit him. Or at least, she wasn't going to hit him, but she's making like he's going to hit him. So when Krishna's crying, he's crying because he's afraid. It's not a drama. In other words, not putting, I'm going to put this on so that everyone thinks I'm afraid. He's actually afraid. So both he's afraid at the same time, but at the same time, fear personified, death, everyone is afraid of just the movement of his eyebrows, what to speak of him. So it's, and therefore achinya. It's inconceivable. How does something like that happen? Well, it's beyond our limited conception of how these energies, Krishna's energies, work like this in a contradictory way. And then it seems like Srila Prabhupada, at least I'll take it as referring to himself, so he could be preaching all over the world, but he asks his devotee to do that preaching. So no, he's not limited. He accepts by the devotion of devotees Vyomi Bhaktya Priyachati. Krishna reciprocates and he becomes fully manifest. He's fully present in this transcendental form that we conceive of the Archa-Vigraha. And therefore, tadejati, tadnajati. Therefore, he walks and he doesn't walk. And then you have an example of Shakshigopal, right? Shakshigopal, Shivcha Gopina. Who walked? Shakshigopal walked. And I was always wondering, why is it that he said, you don't turn back to look? And so because the idea that he's a deity who's doesn't move, and at the same time that he's walking, it's sort of an inconceivable phenomena that may be understood by the young Brahmin who was actually taking Shakshigopa. Shakshigopa was just following him all the way to South India from Vrindavan. From the place where Govindaji's temple is now, that was a long time before, that was like 800-900 years ago. So it was hundreds of years before that. So it's not that It's a statue, which is what materialistic people think we're worshiping, the statue, idol. Idol is even worse word for it. In Hungary, there's no real word for deity. So we call it Isten Szobor, which means God statue. Worse than, not as bad as calling him an idol, but it doesn't really quite get there. And of course, the deity is a word, what it means to people, that's something else. And it's not that, you know, one step better is, well, here's a representation of God. He's not a representation of God. He's fully capable of doing anything and everything. He's Krishna. With all potencies. But here he's manifesting this particular feature that he's still, and although too he can talk, earlier on to Lord Kapila Dev had a very beautiful verse that he says that the Lord smiles benevolently at his devotee, and sometimes they talk to each other, which here is talking about deities. Lord Kapila Dev is here talking about deity worship. So, and then Srila Prabhupada said in the purport that the deity is very eager to talk to the devotees, and sometimes he talks to them directly, often he appears in their dreams. And of course, even though we see that our acharyas, who are all great Mahabhagavatas, you can look at any of our deities, they all had, any of our acharyas, they all had their deities. They had their worship of the deities. Rupa Goswami, Govindaji, Radha Damodar, Chitta Goswami. So all of our acharyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, well, he just worshipped his little Giriraj, but aside from that, of course, his Ishvadeva was Lord Jagannath. So most of our acharyas, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's favorite deities were the Gandharva Giridhari, which is at, in Sridhar Mayapur, and Srila Prabhupada had his own little deities, which for the first few years he was traveling with. Even when he came to London, he had his little childhood deities, Radha Krishna deities, that he traveled with. And then Prabhupada said that when he was going to university, then he put the deities to sleep. But then the deities told him once in a dream, he says, don't. He says, start worshipping me again. Don't put me in a box. So then, and Prabhupada said the same thing when he was in Calcutta. He said that there was the Radha Govinda deity, which were the family's deities, not Prabhupada's personal deities, but the family deity had called him, and so he went there. And so here's Radhishan, which means that they're really here. And because wherever they are, Vrindavan, Vrittajana, Padamika, Gacchati, then actually New Vrindavan is also Vrindavan, in the same way that it's both Hungary and sort of little secluded part of this county or this province of Hungary, but at the same time, in the way that Radhishyam Sundaraso is fully Krishna, Radha and Krishna, similarly, this is also Vrindavan. But it requires that type of bhakti or devotion. Prabhupada here says at the end, the devotee who has perceived this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of God and by realization understands the master and servant. So Srila Prabhupada also states, wherever Krishna is, wherever the deity of the Lord is, there Vrindavan is. Wherever Vrindavan is, that means Krishna's pastimes are also taking place. How that's going on is something for devotees to at least begin by having faith in, and then as they progress or advance in Krishna consciousness, then they can perceive those things if the Lord manifests them. I just want to go back a little. I was from 1977 until 1980, I was in Chicago. And I did the Sankirtan at the airport, O'Hare Airport, and then I was also the temple president for some time. And Srila Prabhupada installed deities there. They're called Kishore Kishori. And they're very, very, very beautiful deities. And I'm just mentioning them because those are the sort of first time that I really connected with Radha Krishna deities. Prior to that, we had in Winnipeg, we had one of these paper mache deities that Govinda Dasi made, and of Gorni Thai, and that was when I first started doing. I was the temple president, and I was actually the only Brahmin for a while, so I was doing all the deity worship. Although Artik's first initiated devotees could do, and cook, to do all the dressing, morning, evening, and that sort of introduced me to deity worship, which was really sort of an integral part of Krishna consciousness. And then when I left America, when I left Chicago, that's when I wanted to get my own deities. And then I got a little Gorni Thai, Gorni Thai Gorri, who are in Budapest. Oh no, they're in Budapest, they're here right now. Didn't see them yesterday, they're upstairs. And along with Radha Damodar. And Kishore Kishore, at least my experience with deities is that the deities take a certain level of initiative with devotees. Of course, that's Krishna consciousness, is that you only get so far with sadhana and your own effort at service, but at a certain point, adhyajitam prapadyanti. Krishna reciprocates, and when he reciprocates, he in certain ways he gives a certain amount of blessings or ability to relate to him, to think of him, and those were good days in Chicago. We had one thing that we used to do is we used to go to the dairy outlets, and the dairy outlets they would provide they would give you. We would go there in the guise of pig farmers, and milk, yogurt, whipping cream that went its sell-by date. You know, in other words, the date that they're not the sell-by, but the sell-by date is much, much, much earlier than actually when the products go bad. So they would give these things to, you know, farmers who came, and we went as pig farmers. And so literally speaking, every Friday, devotees would come with a whole van. We never paid for any milk, butter, everything. And we just pick all of these things up. And the same thing on Fridays, go to the flower market. And we had very good relations, so we would have boxes of gardenias, boxes of stephanotis, and other flowers. So my favorite was, I used to make garlands for Kishore Kishore with stephanotis. Stephanotis is a little, nice little flower, an aromatic flower. And unfortunately it doesn't work here in the same way. And of course things stop since then, they just destroy all products. They dump them after they're sold by date. And that activity of, I used to, when whoever gave class during Bhagavatam class, although I don't let the Buddhists do that anymore, I used to make flower gardens during Bhagavatam class, and which was which was very, very nice. And as a result of that, so I developed a very nice relationship with the deities, although actually I never dressed them. I used to only just dress Gorni Thai, big Gorni Thai. And so when we left Chicago, which was sort of under trying circumstances, I sort of went into exile by coming to UK. And that's also another story. And I could never really quite understand why I had to leave. And when I came, I tried to develop a similar relationship with Radha Gokulananda and Radhalana Mishra, but it just really wasn't quite the same. And that's why I got one of the deities, so that I had my deities. And I figured, well, if I have my own deities, then some deities are never going to be able to sort of kick me out of their temple. But then I'll be able to travel with them, take them wherever I go. And so, 1980, 81, I can't remember, Nisshunga Chaturdasi installed down by Govardhan. And then Ruchira and... Lokadrishti made the outfits, first day outfit, night outfit. And that's all they had for a while, one night outfit, one day outfit. And I used to cook for them. I used to cook lunch until the GBC got on my case, why are you eating separate from the devotees? I was then a three-level cooker, Prabhupada's three-level cooker, and then I would cook for the deities. And but it wasn't really that when Radhashyam Sundar came, and Radhashyam were actually originally asked Bala Gopal. The Vyasi was living in Vrindavan at the time, and they were her and her husband were managing MBT. And so I asked them to go to Jayapur and then oversee ordering the deities. And so she ordered Radhashyam. And then when it was time for me to really go there and see, collect them, and then see if they were all right, and then to actually arrange for their shipping, and she told me, well, Radharani is very, very beautiful, but I saw that there's another Radharani has anybody been to Murtiwala, or where these people make murtis? Anyways, they have a big, big, big workshop, and you just go in there, and it's like wall-to-wall deities. It's Radha Krishna, Sita Rama, Hanuman Lakshman, and of course there's also demigods, and so it's really hard. You just want to like take them all with you. There's deities everywhere. Beautiful, beautiful, some huge, huge big deities, small. And, she said, but if you look, there's one in the corner, there's Srimati Radharani, is all alone, there's no Krishna for her. And she said, I thought that those would be more suitable to Krishna, but you have to see yourself. So that's what I did. We went there, and I went with, I can't remember. But mostly, I think I just went alone. Maybe, I think Abhimanyu would be probably at the time. And went to Jayapur. And then, yes, I thought certainly Srimati Radharani was very special looking. That's what she told me. She says, next to Radharani and Vrindavan, I think this is the most beautiful Radharani that I've seen. So then we ordered and arranged and brought them, and or at least I asked them to ship them to UK. And of course I was at the manor at that time, and or at least I had my office at the manor. And then them along with Gornitai, Dharmatai, Vijayagaranda, Guru Pesta, the Gornitai deities, and they were also there. I had them sent. I said, how long will it take? He said, oh, just a couple of days. And of course, when they say that in India, it takes a couple of days, then it can take a couple of months. So I left from there, I got on the plane, I got back to the manor, sort of unpacked, and the next day I was sitting in the office, and then Abhimanyu came up to me and he said, there's this whole bunch of crates just arrived from India. That was like 3 days after I was in Jaipur. And I couldn't really figure out what kind of crates, what's coming on. They really didn't quite relate, but then it was both Gornitai and Radhashyamasundara. And so Gornitai that I took to, I think sort of left them in the box, because then I took them, brought them to Hungary. And then they stayed in Hungary, I remember right, they stayed here for a year. And Radhashyam, I put them out. Uninstalled deities, people aren't really supposed to see, but I took them out and I put them on the window ledge. You know the manor, the room that's right at the end of the corridor, that was my office, and two big windows there, or three. And I put them in one, and they just sort of stood there, and I had a set of clothes made for them, and they stood there for 2 years. I was just sitting here, and they were up there, and the devotees would come and take darshan. And I didn't want to compete with Radha Gokulnanda, but they were just there all the time. And then from there we brought them here, and well, we have 15 minutes on our own to go beyond that, but we brought them first to Budapest. And that was in 1995. It was interesting when I was writing up, Rajamahiman was trying to get dates. This is why it's so important to actually keep a diary of things. No one knew the exact time when brought Gornitai, no one really knew the exact time when, for instance, Govardhan Lal, he'd already come earlier here. He was the first person to arrive at the farm. And then Radhashyam. So Radhashyam brought in the spring of 95, because that part of the temple was built. The temple was built in two parts, in 2 years. It was started from 94-95 and 95-96. And so the front part came first, all the way to the kitchen and here, and then this part, the temple room, came 95-96. So 95 was there, and it was sort of similar weather, and a little later, maybe in May or something like that, and we brought the deities, and there's some pictures, maybe you'll see tomorrow. We put the deities out just where's the square is now. I don't think we even had a square at that time. It was just sort of a little dip in the hill. And we took the deities out, and probably everyone in the Hungarian Yatra came. It was, and at that time we had a very, before I brought the deities, I had a very, very nice thing, which unfortunately everyone hasn't necessarily stuck to. But I made it that everyone signed a contract. Or at least, I think 95% of the devotees signed a contract. And the contract says, I, such and such, hereby swear that for the service of Radhashyamasundara, I will give whatever time is required for this service, whatever money is required for this service, because I didn't want... First of all, because the deities were really part of the yatra, they're not. We don't have any plan, and it's actually even in our sort of constitution of the Hungarian yatra. The Gornitai in Budapest, ride a shuttle here, bus to a little country like Hungary. Don't need any more deities. Even you can see in Islam, after 50 years, there's so many places where deities are worshipped by, not necessarily worshipped all by Brahmins, sometimes even by uninitiated devotees. They're not really up to the sort of the standard that Srila Prabhupada wanted. So it's a big responsibility. But it should be responsibility of everyone in the yatra. A lot of new devotees since then haven't really signed on to that contract. And even devotees who have signed on to the contract, some of them sort of forget. Who signed on to the contract? You did. Okay. They're doing a bit here full time since then. So that was a very wonderful time. And at that time, babies were just stood in another room. There was construction going on all around them, above them, beside them. And actually, when we were, before we even, this part was here, where the altar was, I brought a picture of the deities. So they were there actually since the beginning of the construction. As soon as they ended up in 94 on the windowsill at the manor, or maybe that was 93, and I took a picture of them, and we just had, actually before any construction started, we built a little altar, and there was sort of picture of Radha Shyam like that, and all the devotees would come, because mostly devotees built the building, but then we had even the workers, the laborers, they would come, they would offer flowers, and they go about building the building. So Radha Shyam would hear right from the very beginning, and in 1994, in February, that was even before I went to India, that's when we'd actually dug a hole here, and installed Anantadev, who's right below the deities. We had just before this renovation, we had a big hole also, and we had a tunnel, because I wanted that, just in case anything happened, either fire or something, that the deities could be taken from the altar straight outside. That's just a sort of an aside, but the people who were building, the workers, they sort of stopped at a certain point. They said, no, this is a secret tunnel. We know what happens. The people who dig it get killed later on. And the tunnel's finished. So we're not finishing this tunnel. We're not digging anymore. I need to run out from it just to use the bathroom if I can. I drink a lot of, I need to go out for a minute. Maybe you can just chant Hare Krishna for a minute. You can just clap your hands or just cut back for a minute. Trying to think, Radha Shyam sort of really been here since the very inception. They were here in their picture, and then for one whole year they were just here while the construction was taking place. And then in 1996 we installed them. We had the installation. And that was a very, very grand affair. An enormous circus tent that took up the whole square. We had a lot of people, although the weather was like this. In fact, it was raining. And we had first darshan, we had a queue of people all around, and they were coming in here to take darshan. They're all standing in the rain. And these were, no, not devotees, these were villagers, so many other people. And of course, although in one sense, when I, for instance, our minister of deity worship, Nishinga Kavacha Prabhu, he said that Radha Shyam's standard of cleanliness is the best in ISKCON. And then he said that best facilities are in Budapest in terms of layout. And many of the things that we did at the time for, well, not just the deities, but the whole construction, is we had a begging department. So we went around and we begged tiles and we begged glass, the glass that we had before over, we begged. And so when you build something out of things, this is not on you, but what was up there for 15 years was what we begged. And when you put something together from what people donate, it can look a little unusual. So a lot of things were like that, and so the deity department was like that, the tiles on the floor, the tiles on the wall, and the facilities, the stoves that we have. It was very good because we saved Lakshmi, but at the same time we didn't have ideal facilities. And then of course for deity worship, what the deities really need and how a deity department functions, you only find out when you start functioning. So everything looks nice on paper, but it's one thing to worship the deities and something else to just sort of say, well, this is nice and that's nice. But then later on it proves that it isn't such an easy thing. It's not so nice. And that's why we decided to do this renovation. Actually, the original idea was that build a new building. And we went to our Hungarian donors and said, what do you think? And to build something, well, at that time, that was about 4 years ago, that would be, we thought it would be $3 million, and when you think it's three, then it would be six. And they said, yeah, sure, go ahead. But, you know, it's financial. Then, right after the whole global collapse of the financial market, some people call it recession, other people are more practical, they call it the depression. Then that really hit them, and it became very obvious that we're not going to be able to do that. We're not going to build a $5 million, $6 million project over here, and it wouldn't really look good either. People are getting out of jobs, we're feeding people, we're feeding thousands of people. Budapest were up to, I don't know, 2,500, 3,000 people a day. And at the same time, we're embarking on this huge, big project, which I was also worried that would stall. All of a sudden, we have this half-completed building somewhere, or third-completed building. So that wasn't it. So we didn't do that, and therefore what we did was we did some other renovations, building renovations. We changed the glass on the roof that was donated. You remember before it was it was impregnated with chicken wire, and just in case, I don't know, a meter fell on the top of it and it didn't crash in or something, but it didn't look so nice, and we did the whole temple room was all redone again, all the artwork was touched up, cleaned, and then we built two kitchens, we built a second kitchen for the deities, and did quite a bit of other work, but we didn't really touch the deity room, and what the deities really needed didn't really happen, and that's where this sort of second phase of the project came in. Put in, here we had underfloor heating, and it was my fault at the time, because when we were building, we said, put in underfloor heating under the deities, into the deity room, because that's how we heat. These aren't really used. These are just here for emergency. And so anyway, we didn't do that. So put that in there because it's much more comfortable way, both for heating the deity room and also obviously for the pujaris. And so we started with, all right, what would be the best thing, which meant knocking out walls, making the pujari area bigger, putting in underfloor heating over there. We'd have to make new cabinetry, and then get all those tiles that we sort of begged, got rid of them. And the deity's clothing, which is upstairs, some devotees I've already shown as I can. I'll try and take some other devotees on a tour. I tried a group yesterday, but that works really slow. It works good if I just go with one or two people at a time. And we renovated the whole upstairs so that we can put the deity's clothing there, laying them flat instead of hanging them, and repaint everything, actually change the stock filters. Srinisan, and of course one major issue which ended up being almost 25% of the cost of the renovations was the Srinisan itself. And Srinisan was all of these things were really designed, and what you see now, designed by Chittahari Prabhu. And at that time was his wife Tarlakshi, she's not there. But and what you see now is also all the work, the floor, the altars, the top of the altar, which not many people are going to see, but it's got inlay, marble inlay. This new, if you devotees who've been here before, remember there was sort of a chunky balustrade handrail here that's replaced with this, which when he designed it, it sort of looked like a piece of jewelry. And we got a blacksmith to do it. So blacksmiths don't really quite make jewelers. So it was really intense here. In fact, just a week ago when the guy came here and I thought him and Chitta were going to have like a fist fight. Chitta said, don't you understand? She said, I'm not a jeweler, I'm a blacksmith. I said, what do you want to do? Anyway, so, but then we ended up, and this is not the way it's supposed to be. This is just a quick paint for all of you. Ultimately, it'll be painted nicer. So did all that design, but when we did the Srinisan was made in plastic. And while plastic can be very resilient, and there are, you know, decorations outside made in plaster and so on, that are hundreds and hundreds of years old in buildings, but they're not necessarily devotee proof. And also, the plaster that we used wasn't really, you know, you need a real experience for this. A lot of those things were experimenting with at the time. So it was actually starting to crumble, and which was problematic. So that it was, all right, let's replace the Srinisan. So the Srinisan that you see now was actually carved here after a lot of investigation in India. And we actually found someone who, tomorrow you'll see, he'll be here. And he did all the, both carpentry work and did the carving. Beautiful, beautiful work, very, which also requires quite complex engineering for how everything really works. Carving, they did the gold leafing as well. And then the deities did the marbling so that the Srinisan looks. So that was to replace that and then have Srinisans on the side as well. Here where Radhisham sleep, and on the left side where the puja takes place, or part of the puja takes place, and morning puja takes place on both sides. So anyway, that's what all this renovation was all about. And of course, we repainted the backdrop to a different theme. And We could have done other things. We had suggestions, change the marble in the temple room. Could do much more artistic lotus now in the middle. But this is as far as we got. And we got here by the assistance of devotees, both nationally and internationally. Rajasham really have a big international following. Preceding them was actually Govardhan Lal. I don't know if you noticed, but every bead bag in Vrindavan, he's on. He's everywhere. He's sort of like all pervading. Even Giriraj Maharaj, when he started his first, started writing his book, he had Govardhan Lal. I said, you can't do that. My publishing house is called Lal, and he's the logo on there, so you can't have him on yours as well. So somehow or another, he really sort of began to travel globally. I was very surprised. And then Radha Shyam sort of followed suit. And more about Radha Shyam Sundar, well, that's the thing I'm going to be asking devotees. But in terms of, and it's time, well, it's time for prasadam for those who want. Maharaj raised the point that Gadadhar Pandit's not necessarily a fast day. Because he's Srimati Radharani, then I mentioned it could be a fast day, so those who want to fast can fast. Those who want to take their chances can be. This prasadam now, and that Radha Shyam are extremely outgoing. In Sanskrit, they have the word jagrata, that they're very, very alive, and they're very communicative. From their pose, you can see that, and they're going to have a different position when they're over there. I don't mean that they're going to switch places, but they're going to see if you notice the difference. But Shamsundar is, if you notice, somewhat laid back. He's actually leaning a little backwards, and Srimati Radharani is leading forward. And so that we're not going to change on. That's how they are. But they're extremely forthcoming to devotees' services. Their presence is very, very strong. They interact with a lot of guests. We have a little book that was written once by one of our tourist guides about the type of spiritual experiences that the Karni guests have with Radha Shyam, to the extent of people chanting their names when they're leaving their body. So anyway, you're all here because you're experiencing that according individually. And so we just want to thank you and encourage you to continue on. Deities are here. They're everyone's deities, Radha Shyam Sundar, although they're living here in Hungary. And as Prabhupada here says, or at least this verse says, that they're endowed with causeless mercy, and they bestow that causeless mercy, beginning with those who really have faith in their identity as being non different than the Supreme Lord, to those who actually then really render service, because ultimately it's by service that Krishna becomes manifest service and chanting Hare Krishna. Now, I'm not going to speak anymore, I could. I'm just going to go just briefly over what the schedule is. Unfortunately, the weather's not too great. Although you're here at a time when New Brajadam is really, you notice all the trees are just exploding in bloom. I'm just looking at what the weather is like. But the weather forecast for today is cloudy, but no rain. afternoon the sun will come out. Doesn't do us much good in the morning, but it'll be everyone will dress well, and we'll have breakfast now, and we'll have to stay and chant. If we're not taking breakfast, then please do that. And then around 10:15, I have to go back and visit Rasarada Damodar. Then we'll gather here in the temple room. And of course, this program is just, you notice there are no Hungarian devotees here, so this is really for devotees who have come here. So give you a little special time with New Brajadan, especially. There's quite a few devotees who are coming. This is a big group from Dubai, who are just in a nearby hotel. And they'll be here at 9 o'clock to give a little introduction and experience of New Brajadan. And so we'll go and do something that I don't think many people have had experience. We're going to install one of our samadhis. At 10 o'clock we'll go down, or 10:15. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur Samadhi. We have sort of 50 Vaishnava samadhis that we're installing bit by bit around the farm. And from there we'll walk a little. I was going to walk around Giriraj, but we'll see how dry it is. And then we'll talk a little about the holy places of New Brajadan at Barshana, which is one of the most nicest and one that really resembles Barshana and Vrindavan. And then we'll walk over to the Goshala. And next week is when we actually have a festival when we have the cows out to pasture. And that's a very exciting time. But what we're going to do is we're going to let the bulls out now. So at least you can see that part. Because actually this is, we have a lot of tourists coming, we have hundreds of tourists coming to see that. So for that festival, so we can't. Because if we let the cows out, they're not going to be the same next week as this week. So we'll keep the cows in, and we'll let the bulls out to pasture. And then we'll come back and have prasada. Where? Well, we're not having it outside. So it's in the tent. Either we'll have it in the tent, either we'll have it in here. Probably in here. This will be a... And because we'll fit fine in here. And then in the afternoon, the devotees want to take a little nap. A lot of you have flown in and relax. But we'll be having bhajans in the temple room, Alama, Kamala, Nadia, Sachi, Adikata, Guru Maharaj. Well, we'll see here, so we'll be doing bhajans. There'll be bhajans going on here in the afternoon. Adikarpa will give a little class about his experience of New Brajadan, and then we'll do Gaur Aarti. So there'll just be that talk, and kirtan's going on. And then myself, Maharaj, Govinda Maharaj will be in three different locations chatting. To anyone who wants to chat. And if you have any more envelopes that you want to pass, don't give it to them, that you have to give to me. And then tomorrow, regular morning program, 7 o'clock daily greeting. Kirtan till 8:30, and then by 8:30 the Hungarian devotees will come. So they're not going to have the luxury of being as comfortable as we are right now, because there'll be probably a couple hundred of them as well. And of course, only the devotees who were donors, they're the only ones who are coming. Everyone else, they can see the deities anytime. And it's Colombo, 32 degrees. Too bad. Budapest, 9 degrees. And then we'll have, I'll just greet everyone for half an hour and explain what we're going to do. And then at 9 o'clock we'll have Abhishek, will have very surprised Abhishek. Abhishek you've never seen before. And you may not even see it either afterwards. And then from around 10 to 12:30, then we'll be moving the deities, dressing the deities. So in the meantime, then Prabhupada Sat Adhikara Prabhu and Ruchira and Govinda Maharaj and Maharaj will be talking about their experiences with Radhe Shyam. So we're trying to make this just Radhe Shyam Center. They've all been coming here for a long, long time. So they all have their own experiences. And we'll also, Damodar Prabhu will be here and he'll give a report, and then you can see the finances as well. And we'll also have about a 20-minute projection on just Radhe Shyam Sundar and different outfits and so on. And I think also from the beginning, what it was like sort of building the temple. But mostly it'll just be that talk. So then at 12:30, I'll introduce everybody who's involved in the construction, renovation, and so on. Since more or less that's when the most devotees are going to be here, thank all the donors, and then we'll open the curtains, and we'll have arti, and you can see the deities, and then there'll be feast, and then after the feast again, then there'll be break, but then we'll continue on with bhajans of kirtan into the night. Maharaj was going to give a talk at what time?
I think the schedule has changed. I saw a different schedule last night.
Okay, I'll see what it is. We'll review that. And Maharaj will give one talk tomorrow in the evening, but mostly here. And then once again, any individual devotees want to talk. And then we'll continue. And then Monday sort of like, Monday we'll actually start moving the deity's paraphernalia into the deity rooms. We're not doing that until then. They're still back here. And then and tomorrow after Radhe Shyam move here, then the Sringadeva's coming in here, and all the deities of New Vrindavan, New Rajana will be here, all the altar, and Radhe Shyam will be there, and everybody else will be here. So there'll be a lot of deities. So that's it. And now it's prasadam time, thank you very much. Bhajans, those devotees would like to continue on with that. And then two requests for devotees who will sit on seats, like to keep the seats sort of organic so they're along the line of the wall, but don't push your seats against the wall because they'll knock the plaster off the wall. We have to sort of fix that quite a few times during the years. And that the chairs are for the people who need them, not for young kids. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Ravishan Sundar ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Nitai Gopi Manandi.